You'd open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This morning we're going to examine verses 11 through 18. Really, 11 through 22 kind of make up the passage, but we don't have the time to go through all of those verses this morning, so I divided it up into two parts. It could probably be more like a three-part sermon, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get through this passage today. So we'll do verses 11 through 18 this morning, and then we will look at 19 through 22 this evening. So verses 11 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the whole passage, so I'm going to read through 22. Beginning in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Father, we pray that as we study your word today, Lord, that you would illumine your word within us, that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears, that we might hear and see the truth in your word, and that we might rightly apply it to our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read through the Bible and we begin in the Old Testament, many times we see God delivering Israel out of the hands of their enemies. He delivers them from death and destruction. And every time Israel would forget the Lord. As time went on, the memories of their deliverance and of their salvation would fade. And they would forget the past and forget the Lord's salvation. R.C. Sproul says that in the Old Testament, the root concept of apostasy is the idea of forgetting. As the Lord's salvation is fresh on the people's minds, they're zealous to worship the Lord. They're zealous to walk in obedience to the commands of God. But as those memories of the deliverance and of his salvation fade, so goes their zeal for God. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, we're called to remember. We're called to remember. This remembering, as we look at it in verse 11, as Paul calls us to remember, that remember, it's a verb in the present active. It's a present active command, meaning to continue to remember, to don't stop remembering. Make it a part of your daily plan to remember. Well, what are we to remember? Well, Paul lays it out here in verses 11 through 18. And the first thing that we can see, the first truth that we are called to remember, is that to remember that as Gentiles, we were once alienated from God and from His chosen people. That as Gentiles, we were alienated from God and from His chosen people. We see this alienation is both vertical and horizontal. Vertical, we see the alienation with God, and then horizontal, we see the alienations that as Gentiles, we are alienated from God's chosen people. In verse 11, Paul says that you that were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Paul is saying that as Gentiles, you didn't have the sign and the seal of the covenant. You didn't have the sign of circumcision. The Gentiles, they didn't have the ancestry of Israel. The Gentiles by birth did not receive the outward sign. They didn't have the nationality. They didn't have the beliefs. The Gentiles were not of Israel. They were not Jews. They were socially excluded from God's chosen people. And God called Israel to be separate from all the other peoples of the earth. Now, we also know that God did make allowances for the sojourner or for the stranger to be a part of Israel. But for the most part, they were called to be separate from all the other peoples of the earth. We also know that as God gave those commands to His people, the Jews, that they added to those commands. And they put more upon that. They have since added to God's word, and we can see that in their customs and in their traditions. And just to give you an example of those, and really this hostility that was between the Jew and the Gentile, a Jew could not help a Gentile woman give birth, for that would just bring another pagan into the world. And if a Jew married a Gentile woman, they would consider him dead, hold a funeral for him. And if you walked into a Gentile's home as a Jew, you were considered unclean. And Jews believed that the Gentiles were created to fuel the fires of hell. So that's the hostility that we see, the horizontal hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. And this social exclusion was so strong that it affected the early church. We see Paul address that in Galatians. We also see Paul address that exclusion even with Peter. Paul addresses here in verse 11, he says, the so-called circumcision, the so-called circumcision. And I believe what Paul is doing, he is making this distinction between the so-called circumcision and the true circumcision. Or what is the true circumcision? Well, we know that the true circumcision is the circumcision of the heart now that is performed by God. As Paul continues there into verse 12, he says, to remember that you were separate from Christ. Remember that you were separate from Christ, that you were as Gentiles, you were apart from Christ. You had no knowledge of Christ, no hope of the coming Messiah. You had no Savior. You had no Deliverer. No Christ. You were separate from Christ. He also says there in verse 12 that we were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. The Gentiles were not a part of God's chosen nation. They were excluded from God's governmental law for Israel. They were excluded from the theocracy that was ruled by God. Excluded from God's special love He had from Israel. No hope of God's blessing and no hope of God's protection. He also says there in verse 12 that as Gentiles you were strangers or foreigners to the covenants of promise. No part in God's covenants, in His covenant with Abraham. Excluded from God's covenant with Isaac, Jacob, Israel, David. We were alienated from the covenants of promise and of the blessing upon Israel and through Israel. Excluded from the promise of a Savior, of a King, of eternal life and of heaven, no hope and without God. And that's our position, our former position as Gentiles apart from Christ. We need to remember that at one time that was our position. That even today, that those who are unbelievers, that is still their position. Without God, without hope. But in Christ, we have hope. But in Christ, we have been brought to salvation. So for the believer, we need to remember our former state apart from Christ, without hope and without God. And for the unbeliever, know your current position. Know your current position. Apart from Christ, you're without hope and without God. As we continue in this passage and we see the next truth that we are to remember in verse 13. And we are to remember that in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember that in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And Paul starts there in verse 13. We see, but now we see this dramatic change has occurred. It's a contrast, a stark contrast of where you were and where you are now. And he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near. And that Greek word that is translated have been brought near is literally you have become. So you have become near. It's in the passive voice, meaning that it's not something you do, but it is something that has been done to you. You have been brought near by what? By the blood of Christ, by Christ's sacrificial death upon the cross, by his giving his life and pouring out his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And believers have been reconciled to God through the finished and complete work of Christ on the cross. If you think about it, if you want to know how far away we were, you can think about it as if you were in the desert somewhere with no life surrounding you, and all that you can see as far as you can look is sand. No life, surrounded by misery and death. And you were so far off that you didn't even know which direction was home. Or better than that, or if you even had a home. And God shows up and brings you to his eternal home in Christ. You see, we went from being, as believers in Jesus Christ, we went from being a lost individual out in the desert with no hope and without God to being a child of God. So we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. In Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29, Paul writes, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise." So through the blood of Christ, through his finished and complete work upon the cross, we who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been brought into God's kingdom. We have become God's people. We've been adopted into God's family. For us today, that causing us to remember, it should drive us to thankfulness. It should drive us to gratitude, to humility. For if it not been for God's divine grace wrought in our souls, we would have continued in our hopeless and godless past. The only hope that we have is Christ. Our hope is founded and grounded in Christ, the one Savior for all mankind. For there is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. And the Bible commands all people to repent and to believe upon Jesus Christ. And for those who repent and to believe upon Christ, their salvation. Those who repent and believe upon Christ have been brought near by the blood of Christ. As we continue in our passage this morning, as we look in verses 14 through 18, we need to remember this, that Jesus Christ is our peace. Remember that Christ Jesus is our peace. In verse 14, Paul starts there and he says, "For he himself is our peace." He himself, that's emphatic. It's emphatic, meaning that Christ himself has established peace. He's established peace with God and peace with our fellow man. Specifically, the relationship between Jew and Gentile. And Christ is both peace and peacemaker. He made both groups into one. And he made both groups into one by breaking down that dividing wall of hostility. What is that dividing wall of hostility? Well, it would seem that Paul would be alluding to the wall that separated the Gentile courts from the inner courts of the temple. And the Gentiles were not allowed to enter into those inner courts where their atonement for sin took place. They were kept on the outside. And Paul is saying now that has been abolished, that wall has been removed. In verse 15, he says, "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace." What does that mean, that Christ abolished the moral law? No, it doesn't mean that Christ abolished the moral law. He fulfilled the moral law. The moral law being the Ten Commandments. That law which we couldn't fulfill ourselves, Christ has fulfilled for us. But he has abolished the sacrificial or the ceremonial law. That he has removed that need for a sacrificial system. Why is that? Because Christ is the finished and complete and perfect sacrifice. There's no need for animal sacrifices because the one atonement that Christ has made has covered the sins of his people. And he has broke down that dividing wall, the wall that separated the Gentiles on the outside of the temple and the Jews within the inside, atoning for sin. That wall has been removed. The two have been made into one new man, one group up under the head of Christ. And his finished and complete work upon the cross. Christ abolished the sacrificial law. There's no need for sacrifices. Christ is the ultimate and final sacrifice. Christ broke down that dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, made the two groups into one new man, establishing peace between the Jew and the Gentile. And he reconciled both groups to God. He reconciled both groups to God. In verses 17 through 18, we see that, "And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near." Well, who were those that were far away? Well, the ones that were far away were the Gentiles. They were far away. Who were the ones that were near? Well, they were the Jews. And he preached peace to both groups. So in Christ, we see the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah. And in verse 18, "For through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father." So Christ preaching peace to those who were far away and to those who were near, and making those two groups into one new man. We could even say that he made a new race. The Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ, that we have established this new man in Christ, with Christ as the head. And he reconciled the hostility between the Jew and the Gentile. But more importantly, he reconciled the hostility between the unbeliever and God. For we know that now we have access to God in one spirit through Christ. That we come covered by the blood of Christ, knowing that He has established the peace. You see, we haven't reconciled ourselves to God, but God has reconciled us to Himself. It was all of His work and all of His doing, establishing peace. And for us, Christ Jesus is our peace. In June of 1945, after the Second World War, the United Nations was created, which represented 51 nations that agreed to strive for peace. And Article 1 of that charter of the UN on the purpose states, the purpose is to maintain international peace and security. You see, what the world fails to understand is that there is no true peace apart from Christ. There's no true peace apart from Christ, that we can make all of these plans to establish peace, but apart from Christ, there's no true peace. That we can do all that we want to do and put all of these things and laws in place to maintain peace, but still, there's no peace apart from Christ. In John 14, verse 26, Jesus tells the disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." As believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to continually dwell on the fact that Jesus Christ is our peace. That we have been reconciled to God through Christ. This peace is only from God. You see, this peace of Christ is not diminished by the circumstances of life. It's not affected by the trials of life. Worldly events don't have any effect on our peace that we have with Christ. The uncertainty of the times don't affect our peace that we have in Christ. As the storm rages, as the storms of life rage, we can say, "It is well with my soul," because we have the peace of Christ. Remembering that we who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remembering that at one time we were alienated from God and from His chosen people. And remembering that through Christ we have been reconciled to God. We have been reconciled to God and reconciled to our fellow man. Remembering those truths each day will drive us to obedience. It will drive us to be zealous for the Lord. It will drive us to see Sundays, a time where we as God's people gather to worship our Lord. We should look forward to that. That can't wait for the time that we gather with God's people to worship. Remembering those truths each week, keep them at the forefront of our mind. They keep us from falling into apostasy. They keep us from looking to serve self, but to serve the Lord. Remember, that's the call that God has given us in His Word, in this passage. Remember that as Gentiles we are alienated from God and from His people, that we who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, and that Jesus Christ is our peace. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have reconciled us through Christ. Father, that you have brought us near through the blood of Christ. Lord, not based on any of our own merit, of our own work, but solely on the finished and complete work of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would continue to grow us in Christ. We pray that you would cause us to remember on a daily basis our salvation that is found in Christ, that those memories would not fade, Lord, that we would remain zealous for you and for your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.